Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Mother's Day. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Russell Goodman will be leading our 2 p.m. service at the Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to attend that service. Our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching Christian financial concepts at the 3 p.m. discipleship class this afternoon. At our 5 p.m. service this afternoon, Pastor Otero will resume his teaching on angels. Today's topic is titled, The Work of Some Good Angels. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, brothers Victor Laurel and Greg Tomlinson will temporarily interrupt, again, presenting Ken Ham's video series, Answers in Genesis, to present how scientific studies, which expose the weaknesses in Darwinism, are suppressed in the schools. This series is called The Icons of Evolution and is very informative. This is followed by a time of prayer, and we praise God for answered prayer. Our Sunday morning 11 a.m. service, this service is being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band and live worldwide on the internet at www.bethelmorganhill.org. The 5 p.m. service, Sunday service, is also being broadcast live on the internet, and past Sunday services and sermons are archived and can also be heard on our website. Finally, there will be a quarterly congregational business meeting next Sunday, May 18th, directly following the morning worship service, and all are invited to attend that meeting. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 63, verses 3 and 5. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise thee with joyful lips. We will be singing now again the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 18, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
us continue our worship now with hymn number 525, A Christian Home. Please stand as we sing hymn number 459, He Lifted Me.
This morning. I'm so glad to see Mrs. Tarp here. I miss you. And Terry here in the choir. What a surprise. And I'm praying you people move back, okay? All right. Lord, we thank you that from time to time we have the blessing to share in our life the great love of God. But I believe personally there is no greater expression of thy love than the one that our mothers show to us, a real reflection of the unselfish love of God. And I thank you for every woman here in the auditorium, for everyone who was listening over the internet, over KKMC. I thank you, Lord, for our mothers. You have mine in your presence, but I have her in my heart. And I think many, many of us can say as well, when our mother departs and we have the privilege that they are believers, they may be in heaven. In the very presence of God, as Revelation 5 says, but we have them forever in our heart. Thank you, Father, for mothers. Thank you, Lord, that we have in America separated the day where we reflect about that beautiful creation of God, motherhood. And so we pray that this service from the beginning to the end will reflect the love of God in the life of mothers. And as we meditate later on in the scripture, we may see the reflection of that love of God in the life of selected mothers that came to my mind. Moses' mother, Samuel's mother, Timothy's mother. Lord, they are the expression of a transformation in their life. And I pray that as we share their stories, we may ponder about ourselves and see if the seed of God is in our heart. It is not our denomination that we worship, whether we are Roman Catholics or Protestant, makes no difference. It is the God that we love that makes the difference. And so, Father, I pray that we united in this auditorium forget about the sign in the front of the church and get the God of the Bible deep into our heart. Bless us as we fellowship together with the world around us through the internet, through the tape ministry, through the CD ministry. Bless our missionaries who are in different lands. Perhaps this is no Mother's Day in their land. But bless them because they have mothers and they have been instructed, maybe led by their mothers into the knowledge of God. And so, Father, bless our brother Fred and Carol Lewis way in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in their own land in Benalmadena, in Spain, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center with the new project, Ruben and Irene Zagert there in Lodi, Martha Foretti way in Argentina, and Daniel as he plans his trip to Toronto. Father, bless him as he's going to minister as a chaplain in Canada. And then the youth ministry in San Jose. Father, how blessed we are. And Lord, prepare our hearts as the Deacon Board expand in faith to adopt two more missionaries, one in Papua New Guinea and the other in Guatemala. And as we bring these to the church in the coming Sunday, Lord, what a blessing will be for us to expand the love of God as we share the word of the living God with people. And as we learn to love people from different nations, from different nationalities, races, languages. We love them because you, God, love them too. Lord, my wife and I were reflecting on the blessing that we had in this church yesterday. And we were reflecting on the great support that this church does for me. It's a very difficult time for me in sickness. I never experienced that in my life. I move aggressively. I never have a day which is dormant. I have to move. I was a sport man from the very beginning, and I still, in my mind, I had to perform and win. But you slow me down. Teach me to slow down. Heal me, O God, and help those doctors that are going to help me next week to find what is wrong. Meantime, help me to serve you with all my love.
And I want to thank you, Lord, from the deepness of my heart for these people of Bethel who support me with unreserved love. And they share their finances and they share their life around this little church. There is no greater joy for me than to see that your children have grown grace. And now we enjoy the fellowship of love. And so bless the offering and bless the giver as we pray in the precious name of our Lover, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the first book of Samuel. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 178. And we will be reading 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Samuel chapter 1, the entire chapter. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up, and after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worships the Lord there. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for commending your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins in our place. And now we can know true peace through his reconciling work. We marvel at your vast creation and thank you for families as we have mothers today, and thank you for that. We thank you that you hear our prayers and are always present in our lives. We pray that you would strengthen us, Father, that we may be faithful servants and do what is right according to your precepts. We pray for our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him in his words as he comes to bring the good news from your word, and that they would be profitable in our lives. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet who are yet in unbelief, that they would receive the preaching of your word and know the joy of your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the extensive reading, but very precious, as if you never have heard about 1 Samuel, now you know it's a very precious chapter. We start during the month of May to study the gospel, and last Sunday we talk about the gospel, which is just about Jesus, the good news about Jesus, and how you can have a new life when you have Jesus Christ. Now today I want to talk to you about the gospel also, but the gospel preached by mothers. The gospel preached by mothers. Last Sunday was the theology of the gospel. What is the gospel? And if you have not heard this sermon, whether you are listening to me on the internet, radio, or you missed it last Sunday, there is a tape in the back. It is free of charge for you. It's good to know what the gospel is all about. But now, I love to preach when the gospel can be seen. One thing is talking, and we can argue in theology all we want to, and we can talk about understanding, and it's dependent on how you and I interpret the Bible, and everybody have their own interpretation and their own trick and how to do it, and that's the result. But another thing is when you see a life that the gospel has touched. And so I want to talk to you this morning about mothers who change the world. Usually we think of men who were a president of this nation or an inventor or something. Imagine the man who I was reading the paper today, who in 1955 created the waffle, where all the circuits no longer had to be in wires, but put in a waffle. And Russell worked in a company here that I have the privilege to see where they burn those waffles. And that changed the world. The whole system is completely changed by putting all the information of the world in a piece about 4 inches in diameter. Imagine the man who took those 4 inches in diameter and make it in less than 1 inch. And the one today that makes it just in a hairline. You know, those people have done tremendous work. And we think of men as they have been leaders in the world. But I want to tell you, the people that change the world are the women, mothers. And I want to show you today three mothers in the Bible who really changed the world. Let's look to the first one. And let's look in Exodus, in chapter 2, page 36 in your Bible. In Exodus, chapter 2, page 36. And take a look with me. Look at what the scripture says. And see if you grasp the brightness
and the heart of this mother. It's very, very simple. Look, Exodus chapter 2. Israel is now in Egypt and have been free and have been prosperous. A government change, you know, and as a government change, then the liberties change, and now Israel is under suppression. The Bible said, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, said the Bible in verse 2 in Exodus chapter 2, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, a good looking, she hid him 3 months. And you know the reason is, the Egyptians allow the women, Hebrew women, to have a child as long as the child is a girl. But if a child is a man, then they will kill it, so the Israel will not prosper. And so she hid the child, you know. And verse 3 said, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and gathered it with lime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. You know, she trusts the Lord. She said, Lord, you give it to me. I have no way to keep this child. I have no way to protect the child. You protect it. Can you imagine that? How many times you have no control in your children because either they are older or whatever, and you say, what are you going to do? Just handle to the Lord, like these women did. And look at verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh, I mean the most important and most powerful man in the world at that moment, was the Pharaoh of Egypt. And look at what they said. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. And you know why? She knew the child was circumcised. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. I mean, when God, when you trust the Lord, he engineered the rest of the way. You know, it's hard to trust the Lord because we know only one thing today. Trust the Lord. But we, if you are like me, I want to know the end of this story in order to really. And here, these women said, I cannot keep it. I cannot engineer anything. It's yours, Lord. And when you do that, the Lord does everything. And look at verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away. Now the child is protected by the imperial force of Egypt. A child that was destined to death. A child that was dead on a call of a soldier, now is protected by the royal empire of Egypt. Amazing. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages, even she will get paid. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because, here's the definition of the name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Amazing. Amazing. An amazing story. Mothers who changed the world. You know when happened? These 3,500 years ago. We can really go in the clock of the Bible and find exactly how many years ago Moses was on this earth. We don't know when Adam was, but we know when Moses was. 3,500 years ago. And you say, Pastor, and what is that important for? All right, 3,000 years ago. Well, what this has to do with us? Well, go to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. And let me show you who that Moses really was. And look at what the Bible said about Moses. Exodus 31, verse 18. Recalling the story of Israel, the Bible says in Exodus 31, 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of the communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of a stone written with the finger of God. You know what that is? Tables of a stone written with the finger of God. You really know what it is. What is it? The Ten Commandments. That baby, destined to death. Destined to death. Wrote with the finger of God. He put the tables like this. And God wrote in those tables the Ten Commandments. 3,500 years ago. And you know what's going to happen next month? You know? The Supreme Court of the United States is going to make a decision to see if we can have in the Pledge of Religion, one nation under God, and the Ten Commandments in the court of law. 3,500 years ago, a baby born destined to death because a mother had a trust in God, let that baby grow, protected by the royal empire, then left out in the wilderness, then walking with God, and then he put the tables like this, and the finger of God came in. There is another text of the Bible where the finger of God came in. It's in, on Jesus. That's the only other person that God put a finger visible. And the finger of God came in and wrote the Ten Commandments. And we are ruled by the Ten Commandments. President Adams said, no nation can rule unless they obey the Ten Commandments. Amazing. Now, the Supreme Court, 3,500 years later, is going to decide, is this right or wrong? Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is amazing. Mothers could change the world. You and I have today in our hands the Ten Commandments because a mother trusts the Lord. A mother trusts the Lord. And she put that child at the mercy of God. She cannot keep the child. She cannot protect the child. She can do nothing for the child except gave the child to the Lord. And that child changed the world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how simple? That child was born under hostile consequences. That child was born and the pressure of a government empire that dominate the world. But nothing is impossible for God. And when a mother trusts the Lord, she will change the world. The secret of the power of God is in the heart of a mother. And when that mother said, Lord, I do everything that's in my hand, but now, from now on, is yours. God said, ask what I want, and I take care of that. And there is no other man where the finger of God came in and wrote about him, except Jackman or Nakin, that disobeyed the Lord. The hand of the Lord came and wrote on the wall, tomorrow you will die. But Moses wrote the Ten Commandments 3,500 years ago. And we are ruled by the Ten Commandments today. And this nation sits on the Ten Commandments, as President Adams said. Nobody can really rule unless he obeyed the Ten Commandments. And you pray today that the Supreme Court will have the guts to say, don't touch God or we are gone.
Mothers. First lesson is a mother who trusts the Lord. Let's go to 1 Samuel now in page 178 and see Samuel's mother. Let me tell you something about this mother. In chapter 1, verse 2, this man was married to two wives. And the name of one wife was Hannah. You see in verse 2, 1 Samuel 1, page 178. And the name of the other, Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. That's an insult. And and the Hebrew people took, and the people in the East takes these. If a woman have no children, then the man has to marry different women until a woman give him a child. That is not in the Bible, but that's what they did. You remember the Shah of Iran? He had three wives, and the last one, he had the child, and it was protected. And they do that. A woman had to bear a child to prove that she is a woman. That's custom and tradition, is not in the Bible. A woman can be married and have no children and is a perfect woman in the Bible. But in tradition, makes a mess. Now, poor Sarah, she is first wife or second wife of this man. And so she have no children. Not because she doesn't want it, it's because she is childless. What are you going to do? Verse 10, she pray. And she was in bitterness of soul and pray unto the Lord. Not just pray, say, Lord, look upon me today and bless my food. Look at what the Bible said. Look in that verse 10 at the very end. What the Bible said, and wept sore. Have you ever prayed and cried? There were a few days, many days, that I pray and cry. This is my pew where I pray in the morning, every day. Many days that I pray and cry. And she was a prayer warrior, you will call it. Moses' mother was a trustworthy mother. She trusts the Lord. These women was a prayer woman. You know, all the mothers have everything, you know. Each mother has something. She's a prayer. She prayed. Now, she received an answer. Look at verse 20. Look at the answer. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what the word Samuel means. I asked him of the Lord. Samuel. Amazing that the husband do not say, no, this is the name of the baby. He loved her so much that in the Hebrew culture, for a woman to choose the name of a child, there had to be a super love of the husband. She had no rights whatsoever in the marriage relationship. But here it is. She chose the name, Samuel. All right? She got the prayer. And what are you going to do now? She was a prayer warrior. Now she's no longer shameful by the people. She can stand before Penina and say, I'm a woman too. You have a child. I have a child. And you're going to raise that child. And boom, boom, boom. No, look. Look in verse 27 and 28. Look at what happened. Verse 27 and 28. For this child, I pray. Are you happy when you pray and you get an answer? Do you remember that you pray? Sometimes we pray, we get an answer, and we forgot that we pray. No, these women, this is a giant woman. This is a woman that a man takes their hat off. For this child I pray, and Jehovah has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now, what are you going to do, Hannah? What are you going to do? Verse 28, therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. Lord, it's yours. It's yours. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And then, in a very casual way, in a very simple way, she worshiped there. Shiloh is the place. Today in Syria. That's a place I want to see, Shiloh. Before Jerusalem was Shiloh. That's the place Abraham went.
That's the place that Hannah went, Shiloh. A rock. A rock. I remember when the castle that used to live here in Pacific Grove, he told me he prayed on the rock across the street from their home. A rock, Shiloh. These women have prayed, a woman of prayer. A woman of prayer. And because she was a woman of prayer, she got the answers. Well, what's important about Samuel? Do you want to know how Israel lived in the times that Hannah prayed? You are in Samuel 1. Move your Bible to the left, just one book, to the book of Judges. Just the very last chapter of the book of Judges, 21 and verse 25. And I want to show you what was the political atmosphere of Israel in those days. In those days, said the Bible, Judges 21, 25, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Anarchy, that's all right? Anarchy. We call it anarchy. I'm right, I do this. You're right, you do this. Amazing. It was anarchy. Nothing was done right. You know, when there is no ruling, there is chaos. Imagine a church without pastor, without deacons, without an order, it's chaos. Imagine a nation where you go in the street and you carry two guns, and if you are faster than the other, you get a cross. Imagine that. That was Israel at that time. And what this has to do with Samuel? Well, let's go to 1 Samuel then, and go to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, in verse 13, chapter 16, and verse 13. Samuel was one of the judges trying to put things in order, but look at what he did. God used him in a mighty way. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from the day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You know what anointed there mean? Means, you know, when you have on January 20, they say the law, every 4 years, the United States should inaugurate a new president, inauguration. And that's what it was. He anointed David. And here comes, Israel has chaos under Saul, and it has all kinds of problems. And here picks this man, David, the God, put the hand on it. And Samuel was a man who feared God. He went to the house of Jesse. There are seven children. He looked one tall, elegant, and beautiful, dark hair. He said, this one. God said, no, that one. And he looked, and he looked, and he looked. He said, no one of these. Which one, Lord? See, he was a man used to obey the Lord. His mother taught him. And he said, which one? And here comes little David, short, blonde, here in his chest was a sign of power. And he came the boy. He said, that one. That one? Yeah, that one. Are you sure, Lord, that one? Yeah. This is a tiny little guy. That one. Saul was elegant, just like a Latin, something like that. You see that? You see that? God has ways, and unless a person yields themselves to the Lord, you never find a way. And here is Hannah. Remember, the priest said to Hannah, you win the child, you raise the child and bring it back. And Hannah taught that child who God was. And when that child grew up, he was a man out of prayer. And he, in Samuel is called in the Bible, the intercessor. Where did he get the heart for prayer? For Mama. Where do you think I get my heart for prayer? From my grandmother. Each time I look to her, she's praying. And one time I said, there must be something in this. And I start praying. And change your life. Concerned? Yes. Worry? No. I get concerned, but no worry. I just let the Lord have it. And I tell you, that's Samuel, the giant of Israel. He anointed the greatest king ever Israel had. Ask any Jew today,
2,000 years go by. Ask any Jew, 2,500 years, 2,000, exactly 680 years from David. Ask any Jew today, I ask any Jew today, who is the greatest king of Israel? They will say, David. Who ordained David? Samuel. Wow. Wow. Moses' mother trust the Lord. Samuel's mother pray. Now I want to show you. I have seven mothers for the time. Let's go to the New Testament. To 2 Timothy 1:5, page 692. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, page 692. 2 Timothy 1:5. Now, here's another mother. Paul writes to Timothy. You know who was Timothy? Timothy was a missionary with Paul. Was his disciple. Timothy was his man. You know, each pastor has a man that will follow him. And he carefully, he's good in the ministry, he carefully guides his life and sees in another man himself, and then he trained and chooses him. And that was Timothy. Now remember, Paul has Silas and has a very good man, but Timothy was his boy. Why? Look at here. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. In other words, he was not a fake. You know, a lot of people come to church on Sunday. A lot of people listen to the sermons on Sunday. A lot of people call themselves Christians. But are they really Christians? Are they for real? Now, so here it is. When I call to remembrance that you are for real, boy, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois, and then that mother Eunice, or as you pronounce it in Greek, Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. This mother was a believing mother. I mean, she believed. Whatever the Old Testament said, that's the only scripture they have, she believed. You know, there are people who read the Bible and they said, well, this one means this, and this means the other, and they change it. And through the century, Origen in the year 128 was the first. It's called allegory. So, oh, white means this, and the other means this. And after you finish to them, you say, I don't know what the Bible said. But you know, this mother believed. Whatever she read, believed. That's it. A believing mother. Not just a believing mother that went to church. There was no church life here. Were only families who meet in homes. You know, the first church. If you meet, when a father meets in home with all his children, and he pray and read the Bible, that's a church. And that was the church then. But she believed, said the Bible. She believed. What impact have in Timothy? He believed too. And look at how God raised Timothy. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, page 692. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I show you the impact of a mother who believed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Well, I don't know why chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 1. When Paul going to address the church of Corinth, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God. So he is saying, Timothy is my partner. Timothy is the one who is with me. He is a missionary. He is the one who is going to... I write this letter, no, alone. I write the letter with my partner. And who is Paul's partner? Timothy. Timothy? Now, Paul was an educated man. I was talking to another person who studied the Bible a lot, and I was saying to him, it's funny that God
do not choose genius to write the scripture. It's a one, Paul. You're talking about Peter, and if you learn the language, the Greek language, and you read his epistle, you say, this guy didn't even pass in third grade. You're talking about John, the same. So simple. No complicated. But you get Paul, and you get participles by participles and compound verbs, and he is the genius. He is the genius. Remember, he knew Hebrew, he knew Latin, he knew Aramaic, he knew Greek. He's the genius. I said, why God don't choose all of them? Well, I think they will fight if they get all like that. But it's amazing that a genius now is going to pick up his follower, the one who's going to follow his steps. And I thought he's going to go to Tarsus, to the university where Gamaliel, professor, is there, and pick up one of the best students. No, he chose one who believed. He chose as his partner one who believed. And he is sure that he believed because his mother believed and his grandmother believed. You see, you may be a mother, you may be a grandmother. You see how important you are in the eyes of God? Now, what that belief of that mother have caused in Timothy? Please move to Philippians chapter 2, please. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 23. Let me show you what that belief have produced in the life of Timothy. Look at Philippians 2, 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be a good comfort when I know your state. Now, why Paul is going to send Timotheus? Look at here. Look at what Timothy was. Verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. You see that? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to have the largest church in town. Everybody wants to have the best building in town. But nobody is seeking the cause of Christ. Everybody wants to have their own ministry to shine. And there is one reason I'm glad I'm not in the television. Well, I still in the television, some televisions in the East and here, but I don't like it. And I'm not producing anymore. Because, see, people then watch what suit you have, what shoes you have, and they're distracted. I like radio because you just listen to the voice, and because of the accent, they have to glue to the radio. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. See, that's where I'm hot on Jesus. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Look at verse 20 again. Look at verse 20 again. I have no other man minded like that. What that means? Naturally, you know, he was a man of compassion. Man of compassion. One thing is to tell somebody, you need to be saved. Another thing is to sit down and say, and what is your problem? Can I help you? Without saying a word to offend that person. Without saying a word to say, oh, you're a Catholic. Oh, I'm this. Oh, you are a Pentecostal. Oh, you believe that. Without interfering. Without showing a barrier. Just compassion in the name of Jesus. He will help anybody in any condition. Today is a great day for me. As I went to drink a cup of coffee at 6:15, here's a Spanish friend, a laborer who works on the field, drinking coffee. I've been telling him, go back to your land. He's alone here without his wife. Dangerous country to be without your wife. Illegal. And he see me praying, and he see me in the Bible, and he came and said, I want to show you this. This is a ticket. I go back to Vallarta, to Jalisco. You're right. God cannot bless a man when he do not obey the country. I go back over there And if God wants me back, I'll be back. We hug and cry. Now, everybody in the coffee shop knew that he was illegal, and they depicted him. They put him down. I called him out, and I say, you know, when I came here, it took me a year and $25,000 in paperwork between law and medical research to be in this country. I'm honored to be an American citizen. You can be too. If God wanted. Oh, he goes to the Catholic Church or whatever. I don't know how much he knows of God, but I give him a Bible in Spanish, and I said, now look, you read this book. And he read it. And he said, I cannot worship God being a liar with my life. I can't believe it. Got three children, his wife. He has been a good worker. He has cattle in his country, in Vallarta, which is expensive. I tell you, mothers change the world. Moses' mothers is affecting us today. We have the Ten Commandments, whether you like it or not. Samuel's mother is affecting today. We have King David. Jesus, if you read Matthew 1, he said, the son of Abraham, the son of David, his kingship. And then Timothy said, and then Paul said, we have Timothy, a man of compassion. Now, I wonder, what is the secret in all these mothers? If you turn to Romans chapter 12, I found that perhaps this is the secret. After Paul writing a big theological argument about the gospel against the Jewish people, the Jewish people think that they are the only people who are saved. Some people today say, we are the only ones saved, you know. And Paul writes 11 chapters, majestic chapters. Then in chapter 12, he becomes more human, and he talked to us. And look at what he said. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye a Baptist? No. Be ye a Catholic? No. Be ye a Reformer? No. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, my friend, this is what happened. These mothers believe God with the light they have. And Moses was a sacrifice. God has slain a lamb for Adam. And Samuel was a king who obeyed the Lord. And Timothy was a savior who dwells in your heart. These mothers were faithful to the revelation of God at their time. And that revelation was not theology, only transformed their life. Different people, like my grandmother. Different people. You look to them and you see a different person. You see the light of God. I went to my mother-in-law house, and from the moment I walked on, I knew I was on holy ground. What a pleasure and privilege I have. Now, that's what a mother does when she yields herself to the Lord. That's what Jesus does when you don't fool around with theology and you believe what he said. I hope that that's the gospel that you believe. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of the gospel who transforms our life and give us mothers who influence our life in such a way that we, with the passion of God, serve you with the gift of God you has given me. Lord, you gave a gift to Moses' mother. She trusts you, and Moses trusts you all the way. You gave a gift to Samuel's mother. She prayed, and Samuel prayed all the way. And you give to Timothy a mother who believed, and Timothy believed all the way. Oh, God, give us mothers who exercise their gift before you, and we're going to have a nation that love you without regrets. For all of these, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel, who is not just theology, who is not just religion. It is a live, living experience with Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing! Will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be, when we all see Jesus. Sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the torch of life leap in. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll see.
Let us stand for the benediction. Thank God for the wonders of the victory in Christ. Father, we review in our Bible the life of these mothers, and we pray that each woman who listen may develop a faith in you that will be developed later on in the life of their children. Lord, thank you for mothers who yield their life to the mighty God of heaven. Thank you, Father. Bless us now, and as we celebrate with dinners or with the gathering of the family, let's remember that the center of our life is Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.